Today in the Diocese of Norwich, we are honored to celebrate with great solemnity the Feast of St. Patrick, because St. Patrick is the titular patron of the diocese. That is, he is the primary patron of the diocese, and so he is our patron and our protector for we who dwell in the Diocese of Norwich. And so we have great reason to rejoice and to celebrate, for the life of St. Patrick truly shows the power of Jesus Christ in converting. St. Patrick's life story is somewhat disputed, but it is pretty clear now from historical records that St. Patrick was born on the island of England, in that part of England known as Wales, and at an early age he was captured by the Irish, who were also descendants of the same people, and he was enslaved. He would escape from Ireland, and there he would dedicate himself more earnestly to the Christian faith. Eventually he would be ordained a priest, and he would be consecrated a bishop by the Pope. And when the Pope consecrated St. Patrick, he would change his name to Patricus, that is, Patrick, Patriarch, because it is said that when the Pope consecrated him a bishop, he told him that he would become the father of a nation. And so it was that St. Patrick, at the prayers and the pleas of the Irish people, especially two girls who were said to be twins, St. Patrick would return to Ireland, and there he would begin to work earnestly to convert those people. The Irish people, before that conversion to Christianity, were a people of a deep spirituality. Unfortunately, it was not the spirituality of Christ, it was the spirituality of Satan. And because they had perhaps the most developed understanding of the soul in the pagan world, theirs was truly a depraved culture. For we know full well of the human sacrifices of the Druids, but it was also, as it were, not a depraved culture like the native Indians in America were when they were first brought to missionary activities. It was a high culture, and so it was a sophisticated culture in which Satan was honored in a sophisticated manner. And so St. Patrick would have much work to do, and he would do that work. Often it would be punctuated by miraculous signs. For one day, when a group of the Irish that he had converted were trapped by some Druids, St. Patrick simply turned to his faithful and told them to do whatever he said and to follow him wherever he went. And so the bishop began immediately to walk through the very midst of the camp of the Druid soldiers. The people, as it were very fearful, and they did not know what it was transpiring. So St. Patrick would lead them right through the camp. And when the account was given, the soldiers of the Druids said that they saw a stag leading, as it were, many does, is how the people appeared to them. And so divine providence was certainly on the head of St. Patrick as he labored earnestly for the conversion of the people. And it is why St. Patrick truly can be called the father of the Irish nation. For what really determines a nation ultimately is how the men, the leaders of that nation, decide to live. And after they accepted the work of St. Patrick and converted to the Christian faith, the Irish people settled down and to live as a people truly consecrated and truly claimed by Jesus Christ. And so they would build up what would become known as one of the great Christian cultures in Christendom. Indeed, during a time of darkness over the European culture, it was the Irish people who would preserve all the great works of the doctors and fathers of the church, and eventually it would be the Irish missionaries that would convert the European nation. They would labor in all the lands of Europe, Spain, in France, in Germany. And so they truly, as it were, embraced the teaching of St. Patrick. And St. Patrick summarizes up his whole life for us in what is known as the Lorica, that is, the breastplate of St. Patrick, in which he expresses a most deep and profound faith in the Blessed Trinity and also in the incarnation, passion, and death of Christ. And he concludes it by saying that Christ is all around him. He says, Christ to his left, Christ to his life, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ above me, Christ below me. Everything for St. Patrick was Christ, and he wished only that people would come to know, love, and serve Christ. And so, on this feast of St. Patrick, let us also earnestly remember our responsibilities as being members incorporated into the mystical body of Christ, that we have an obligation not always to complain about the bad things we see going on in the church, but most especially, we must pray, and pray especially for our bishops who are successors to the apostles. Pray that they too lead the people like St. Patrick. St. Patrick was truly a great pastor of his people and truly a great bishop because he did not count the cost to himself. He only counted what was entrusted to him by Jesus Christ, and that was the Irish people. And so he would risk his life often and almost every day in order, as it were, to see that those people be converted to the faith of Christ. And so we must pray also that our bishops are heroic in the manner of St. Patrick and all the great bishop saints of the church. Those, that is, men willing to die rather than to compromise the faith in any way or even in the slightest, because they, like St. Patrick, take their responsibility, their primary responsibility, which is to hand on the doctrine of Christ to all nations and to all peoples, or as our Lord expressed it, to go forth and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In this day and age, in which we are often told that it is not our responsibility to go forth and convert the world, Christ himself teaches us in the gospel that that is not the Christian spirit, and it is certainly not the spirit that is to imbibe the bishops and priests of the church. They must always have a missionary attitude. They must always be seeking the conversion of all people. And indeed, it matters not how depraved those people are. For St. Patrick did not fear the depravity of the Druids around him, because he knew and he truly believed that the power of Christ was much more powerful than all the forces of Satan, if they were to be, as it were, amassed in one place at one time. The power of Christ can overcome it even in an instant, and often in the conversion of the Irish people, that obstacle that Satan would try to put in the way of St. Patrick was overcome in an instant. And so he would labor hard in long hours, but also there would be those moments of instant conversion of the people. And so, if it was not enough for St. Patrick to burn himself out laboring like this for the conversion of souls, he was also known for his great penitential life. Indeed, he was said to have prayed all of the 150 Psalms at least three times a week on the top of a cold mountain with his feet buried in a bucket of ice water. And so the Irish people, in imitating of St. Patrick, would become known for the virtue of temperance. Often we may find some humor in that, because we also know that the vice that is often associated with the Irish people is intemperance, particularly in the drinking of alcoholic beverages. But we see very clearly that a people once converted can become a heroic people. And so the Irish people would suffer long and hard, and we see the fruits of their father, St. Patrick, during the persecution that they would suffer at the hands of the English. For we know of the terrible plight that would overcome the Irish people. Indeed, there were forced famines. There was no, as it were, a true famine that transpired in Ireland during its persecution, for it was a fake famine. It was a false famine. Although the potato crops failed, the good corn did very well, but it was sent off to other lands in order to make more money, and so the Irish people were forced to eat that which was inedible. And so it was, in order to try to bring them to their knees, they would be told that if they came into the soup kitchens, they would receive the food that was necessary. But there was one thing that would be required for them. They were to renounce their Catholic faith if they were to receive the food that would sustain their lives, and hundreds of thousands would choose death by starvation rather than to renounce the Catholic faith. And that is the fruit of the labors of St. Patrick, who instilled in those people a deep and profound love of Jesus Christ and a profound understanding that it is more important to hold on to Christ, who is the true food of life, than to hold on to the food and to the food of this world. It is better to starve to death in the famines of this world rather than to renounce the faith of Jesus Christ. And so let us be inspired by the life of St. Patrick and the virtue that he inspired a people of a particular nation to follow, praying that that spirit will ultimately pass over the whole of the world and catch the world in its grip. That spirit that loves Christ above all things and sees everything in the light of Holy Mother Church and in the light of the faith, that faith that St. Patrick would give to the Irish people, that faith that they would go forth and try to bring to all lands in which they would emigrate. And so let us be very thankful this day that we have such a great intercessor for this diocese with the Lord, and most especially let us ask him this day to pray for the bishop of our diocese and also to pray for us, the people of this diocese, that we are led by a good shepherd and that we too, like the Irish people, are willing to die rather than to renounce our faith, that we too will exercise the virtue of temperance and also that virtue of hospitality, which is related to the virtue of charity, which would become the other extraordinary virtue by which the Irish people would be known, that is, a spirit by which they would embrace all and invite them into their house and treat them as Christians should always treat all peoples, but they would do so always with a specific purpose, that by their hospitality, by the love they showed to their neighbor, they would ultimately win them over for the kingdom of Christ. And so let us strive to see that we are all, as it were, led by great patriarchs, that in one sense all bishops can take for themselves the name of Patrick because they have become true fathers of their people, are true pastors of the sheep, leading them to the glory that is to come, that is, the glory of our resurrection in Christ, that glory that drove St. Patrick to not fear anything in order to bring the faith to all peoples. And ultimately, he would be rewarded with that by the conversion of the Irish people and the establishment of a culture that is truly, as a culture that was truly imbued with the love of Jesus Christ. Indeed, the Irish Constitution was at one time the last constitution in the world that began by professing a belief in the Most Holy Trinity. That has been struck from the Irish Constitution, and so it is a sign of the depravity of our times, but it is also a sign for us to call upon the saints to intercede most earnestly for us, so that belief in the Trinity may again be established in the Irish people and in all peoples, so that the faith of Christ again may spread throughout all lands and all nations, so that all of us may truly know the value and the gift of our salvation, which is Holy Mother Church, and it exists in each and every diocese of the world. And let us also be reminded by that stern warning of Pope John Paul II in regarding particular doctrines of the faith that St. Patrick was willing to die for. He said that if bishops are not heroic in defending a particular doctrine of the Church, then whole Catholic dioceses will disappear. That doctrine was the indissolubility of marriage, and we see very clearly how important that doctrine has become in our day and in our age. It was a doctrine that St. Patrick would teach the Irish people, that God has established and defined marriage as the union of one man and one woman together until death do they part. And so, when the Irish people would embrace this fidelity, they would truly become a nation of families, a nation of families led ultimately by Jesus Christ, and then they would establish all the virtues in their land. And without this understanding, and without the pastors of the church being willing to die for this understanding, then, as the Pope said, whole Catholic families will disappear, for ultimately a diocese is none other than a family of the Catholic Church, an extension of the mystical body of Christ insofar as it is in union with the pastor of Rome. And so let us always and everywhere pray earnestly for our bishops, and most especially let us pray for the Bishop of Rome, that he leads us according to the doctrines of the Church, and that he holds out those doctrines to all peoples and to all nations, so that they may truly come to know the love of Jesus Christ and how it can transform a nation into the sacrifices of from the sacrifice of children to embracing them as what they truly are, the gifts of Almighty God. And so it becomes a nation that protects life from conception until natural death, rather than a nation like the Druid nation was, a nation that destroys the young and destroys the old. For we may deceive ourselves by covering in technology what we are doing, but ultimately the nations of the world are simply becoming Druid nations again, Aztec nations again, in which life is not preserved because Christ is not known, but life is always and everywhere destroyed, most especially at its youngest and at its latest. And so we have much work to do. Let us call this day upon great St. Patrick in order that we may begin to do the work of reestablishing the life of Christ in our nation and in our world.